You know, in order to help others, you have to take care of yourself first. And today we're going to be talking about caregiving and the strain that can come with us and how caregivers can help themselves. Larry Mueller here again. Glad to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Kristen Litzelman is our guest and assistant professor in the UW-Madison School of
Human ecology.
Why did I forget that? How could I forget that? Great to have you with us today. And as you listen to Kristen and I talk, I hope you'll join in. You may be a caregiver. We'd love to hear your experiences. Do you often seek support for yourself? If so, where? We'd love to talk with you at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Kristen, again, thank you for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Talk about your work. Tell us about your work. What do you do, and how do you focus your research and work?
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm an assistant professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm also a state specialist for UW Extension Cooperative Extension. And so the work that I do looks at how family caregivers are impacted by their role. I'm interested in the type of stress that they experience, how that impacts their quality of life, their mental health. And I'm also interested in how that impacts the person that they're caring for. So if caregivers are doing better, if they have better well-being, does that mean that the person that they're caring for also has better quality of life or better health outcomes?
And you've been doing this for a little while, but what are some maybe the more interesting or thought-provoking findings that you have?
Sure. So one of the key findings from my research is that it's not really caregiving itself that is problematic. There's a whole diversity in who caregivers are. It's really the stress that comes from caregiving. It's if people perceive their role as stressful and feel a lot of strain or burden from their role. That is what is important for quality of life, well-being outcomes for caregivers and the people that they care for.
And caregiver strain is just... What is it?
So when we talk about stress, people know what we're saying. They say, I feel stressed out. It means that they are feeling overwhelmed or they are feeling like they're out of control. They're feeling like they aren't able to organize the things in their life appropriately. When it comes to caregiving stress specifically, it often is things relating to caregiving. There's a huge variety of this. It can be the actual physical tasks of caring for someone. It can be the financial difficulties that people face when they're caregivers. It comes from all different areas, and it really comes down to the perception of feeling like they're overwhelmed and don't have control over the situations that they face.
Under what circumstances is it worse? I mean, I'm thinking about someone, say an elderly person with a married couple, and the one is ill and it sort of falls on the other one. I mean, that came to my mind first. And I imagine that's a very stressful situation.
Yes. And so women typically experience more stress than men, or report that they experience more stress than men. People who have lower education might experience more caregiving related stress because there's a lot of factors that come into it, having to navigate the healthcare system, having to understand medications if they're providing medications for someone. People who are providing a lot of care, a lot of hours of care, people who are living with the person that they're providing care to, that can all be more stressful because it just puts a lot more pressure on the person who is doing the caregiving.
Especially if you don't have help.
Exactly. Yeah. If there's only one person who's providing care, or sometimes if you're the primary care provider and you're in conflict a little bit with other care providers, that happens too and can be very stressful for families, those social interactions.
And I imagine that can have an impact on the person being cared for as well.
Absolutely. In fact, some of my research shows that when a caregiver has depressive symptoms, the person that they're caring for can be up to 4 times more likely to become depressed themselves. There's a lot of overlap, especially in spouses, between caregivers and care recipients.
Talking today with Kristen Litzelman, who works and researches caring for the caregivers and talks a lot about that in her research. And it's great to have her with us today. And I hope you'll join in with your own experiences or your own questions. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. Love to hear from you. What about cancer caregivers? How are these people affected?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different types of caregivers. Cancer caregivers, cancer is interesting because it impacts the whole family in such a unique way because of the treatment that people experience. And so cancer caregivers have this whole different set of stressors that they deal with because of the intensity often of the treatment and because of the fear and the uncertainty surrounding cancer. And that differs from something like dementia, where people are dealing with other kinds of stressors, behavior problems, dealing with the longevity of seeing someone decline over a long period of time. All the different types of caregiving are different, but they all come together around the fact that they're stressful and that caregivers need support.
Yeah, I'm thinking now of a friend who's in Arizona now with his wife, and he has pancreatic cancer, and so things aren't looking very good. And I'm just talking to him on the phone, and he says, well, I won't mention names, but his wife, you know, literally they go to somewhere every day, mm-hmm. 5 days, 6 days a week for various treatments. And I know it's got to be, obviously it's hard on him, but it has to be really hard on her. I haven't talked to her, but I would expect that to be the case.
Yeah, the treatment schedules can be very intensive, and often people are traveling long distances to receive treatment, which is an extra burden. There's a time burden. They can also be very expensive, which can be impactful on the whole family because of the financial difficulties, and people end up taking time off work. There's so many components that come into it that it can all come together in a very negative way sometimes.
Let's hear from Joya in Fitchburg next. Joya, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call. I am a first-hand experience as a caregiver. I took care of my late husband from April 2014 to June 2015. And I had various experiences with agencies as well as private caregivers. And I went through sometimes good, sometimes bad experience, especially with the agencies whom I hired initially, because they would say the worst thing happened is I wanted somebody taking care of him at night so I could sleep. So because I was taking care of him during the daytime, he had a Parkinson's disease, and he was guy going downhill fast. But every night they send a different person. And then also sometimes what happened, the person would sleep next room and would not wake up when he was calling. And in spite of the baby alarm we gave them, and I woke up because for some reason I had the intuition he wants help or something for going to bathroom. They did not do the job. Even their license, they did not do the job what I expected of them.
Well, Joya, thanks so much for calling. Comments, Kristen?
Yeah, it can be hard to find help that works for you and your family. And I hear what you're saying. Sleep is a big issue for family caregivers. And being in that situation, you're the one who's keyed up. You're the one who is always feeling on call. So even if you know that someone else is in that duty, you're still going to be listening for it. You still sort of sleep with one ear open because you're ready for that. And you know that it really comes down to you to be the one who's responsible for it. So I hear what you're saying. That's very hard. And it can be very, very hard for caregivers to find help that works for them.
Yeah.
My other quick question is there any kind of a standardized rating for these agencies? Because every agency I call, they charge different hourly charges.
Yeah, yeah. Joya, that's a great question. And to my knowledge, no, there isn't any sort of standardization in that.
And is there any regulation also for that? Because they require LPN, or some of them, they did not even have a NA or nursing care assistant or nurse assistant. But the thing is, they charge the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you do need to ask a lot of questions when you're making those decisions, because you don't know what the training and the background is. Some people need someone who is an LPN. Some people just need someone to be there and be physically present.
And when we interviewed, they give a very nice, polished face, you know, like facelift answers, everything they promise. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do this, we do this, we do this. But when it comes to reality, half of the things they promised were not there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you had that. I'm sorry for your loss to begin with, Joya, and because I know that had to be very difficult, and I'm really sorry for the kind of care or perhaps lack of that you got from those service providers. And I appreciate you calling in today. Many caregivers do a very good job, and I think you'd agree with that, Kristen.
Absolutely. Yeah, many caregivers, both family caregivers and then also the formal caregiving system where people are being paid to come in and help, they do a great job, and they're often very caring. It's a hard job, no matter if you're a family caregiver or if you are a professional caregiver, to come in and give those services and provide the physical support and the emotional support. And so it's not easy for anyone, but being able to find someone who works with your family in a way that's right, and that's different for everyone. There's no standardization to that. Everyone knows what will work best in their family. Sometimes it's just trial and error, figuring out what works best and getting word of mouth about good services and using all of the resources that you have available to
you. As Joya was talking, I was thinking, oh, I'm sorry she didn't get my brother, because my brother's a caregiver and does just an absolutely fantastic job. And so I know there are many good ones out there. Thanks again, Joya. Let's go to Sarah in Madison. Sarah, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, you're welcome. At this point in my life, I'm a triage nurse, and I just wanted to comment that I think a lot of times people who are maybe don't have the financial or the educational tools to care for their family members exactly the way we maybe would think the model should be. I think a lot of times they're really lost in the system. Either they call a lot and people feel that they're needing too much attention, or they don't understand really well the instructions they're given.
You know what? I hope you, Sarah, if you can hang on here, we need to take a quick look at the news and weather, and then we'll be back. Thank you. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we take a look at caregiving and caring for the caregivers with our guest today. Kristen Litzelman has a PhD. She's an assistant professor in the UW-Madison and Human Development and Family Studies State Specialist as well in the Family Livings Program through the UW Cooperative Extension Service. So it's great to have her along. She's done a lot of research on this and continues to look at caregivers and how they are affected by the caregiving, and maybe how the caregiver, the person who's being cared for, is also affected. Give a call with your own questions, experiences to share. I hope you will at 1-800-642-1234. Maybe you're caring for somebody right now. How have you been affected? How have you coped? Love to hear from you. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Sarah from Madison was with us when we broke for news. And Sarah, thanks for hanging on, by the way.
Oh, of course.
You were talking about...
One more thing.
Yeah.
And that is, when people don't have the same tools that others have, a lot of times they're lost in the system and we're judgmental, but those people are giving such loving care to their family member or, you know, their loved ones. And I just, when I'm orienting young nurses, I always take the time to talk about the fact that they're doing the best they can. And there are people with better tools or different tool sets that don't really make the effort to take care of their loved one the way these people are, but yet they don't a lot of times have the support that others have, just because of their economic and educational systems. And can I just listen to your response off air?
Sure thing. Thanks a lot, Sarah, for calling. Appreciate it. And Kristen, you want to comment?
Yeah, Sarah, I'm really happy that you called in with this question because it's a really important point. Family caregivers end up interfacing with the medical system a lot. They go to hospital appointments, they go to doctor's offices, and they often are expected to provide a lot of care that is something that 20 years ago, 30 years ago would have actually happened in the hospital. They might be giving injections, they might be cleaning port lines. They're doing a lot of things that might not have happened in the home before and now have been put in their hands, and that can be really overwhelming. It's really hard for them to have to learn that information with no medical training, no nursing training, and then to have to do it and feel like there's a lot at stake there because they don't want to mess it up. They don't want their patient to end up with an infection, for example. And I know that nursing facilities, nursing staff often try to do a lot of training for the family caregivers, but it's a lot of information for them to absorb. And so they often do struggle with understanding that, knowing that they're doing it right, and even feeling confident if they do know how to do it, feeling confident that they're doing it right. And so your point about the medical system is really well taken and a really good thing that we should talk about. And then your other point was about resources and people who may not have access to as many resources still doing the best that they can. And that's very true. People who are family caregivers, this is a hard job. They're doing it out of the goodness of their hearts. They're doing it because they love the person that they're caring for. They're doing it because it makes them feel good, hopefully, even though it's very stressful. And because the interaction with the medical system can often be stressful in itself, there's a lot at stake there. And having compassion from the nursing staff, having compassion from the medical staff is an important component to that because it's a struggle for everyone involved.
Sarah, thanks again for calling. I appreciate your call. Let's turn to David in Garville, Iowa, next with a question. Hi, David. Thank you for calling.
Yes. My wife's mother has MS, and she's pretty much wheelchair bound. So my wife has to get up between 6 and 6:30 around there in the morning, every morning, to get her up and going. And then usually my mother-in-law goes to bed around 1:30 in the morning. So my wife has to go down to her house at that time to get her situated in bed. And I'm just wondering what I could do for my wife because she's getting stressed out.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good for you, David. That's a great question. And Kristen, I'm sure you have some comments.
Yeah, well, David, I have a rhetorical question for you first, and that is, what does she want you to do for her? And that's a hard question because caregivers often, if they're asked that, they'll say nothing. I'm fine. I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. I'm okay. I'm working the problem. I'm making it happen. And they don't necessarily think about what they need. The best thing that caregivers can get in terms of support is, one, that emotional support. So having her know that you're there for her, that you're willing to listen, that you're willing to help, that helps in itself. Just asking what you can do can be really helpful. Sure. But then also the functional support of taking on some of the tasks that maybe she doesn't have time for, whether that's household tasks like doing dishes or doing grocery shopping or being the one who works through the financial stuff of the household, that can be really helpful in taking some of that off her plate. But it really depends on what she needs, because for some people, that doing the dishes, for example, might be a place that they can take their mind off of the rest of their tasks. For someone else, that could be going to work, could be a way for them to experience their life more fully and not feel like they're only a caregiver all the time. So there's so many functional and emotional things that you can do. If she's the type of person that likes to exercise, exercise is amazingly beneficial for everybody, but for caregivers in particular, it helps people moderate their stress. It helps them to keep that under control. It's good for their health generically. It's good for their mental health. And so if she's the person who likes to do that, encouraging her to exercise, taking over for a little while so she can go see her friends, or even just encouraging her to take the time to call a friend and talk to a friend, that social support can be really important. And doing those things early. So this is a timely question, because making sure that caregivers are getting the support they need, not once they're burnt out, but early, when they're starting to feel that stress, when they're just taking on the role, because preventing burnout and preventing those high levels of stress is a lot easier than pulling someone back once they've reached that high level of stress and burden.
Yeah, because it's been going on like a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm worried about her, my wife's health and burnout.
Yeah. So there are, in a lot of communities, resources for caregivers. In fact, there's a lot of resources for caregivers that can be things like respite care, where you can either have someone come to your house to help take care of that person while the primary caregiver can get out of the house. There are financial resources. There's caregiver support groups. There's things called caregiver cafes, which is sort of a combination education program and support group where caregivers can talk about the things that they face that are in common. And that varies community by community. But you can often reach out to your area agency on aging. And in Wisconsin, those are often part of the Aging and Disability Resource Center. They know what services are available community by community. And that is a federally and state-funded program where it's their job to help people connect with these resources and to help family caregivers and families of aging adults. So that's a really good place to start to get some of those more formalized services.
And where is that again?
The Area Agencies on Aging.
And Area Agencies on Aging.
That's correct. And in Wisconsin, it's often part of the Aging and Disability Resource Center.
There we go. Good luck, David. Appreciate your call very much, and I appreciate your caring and concern about your wife. Maybe take her for a walk. Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of a fun thing to do every day.
Yes.
Popped off the top of my head. I have no experience at all here. I'm unlike my brother, who's a professional at it, and my sister, who took care of my mother for about 6 years. They have much more knowledge than I. Debbie in Grafton, thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for the program. You're raising a lot of good points. And I think what it is important to remember, which you were just speaking about that, is if you're the caregiver, to remember to take care of yourself and to, especially if you do not have a lot of help from other family members or other friends or whatever, you know, that is very crucial to take some time out, take care of yourself and your own needs, because it can lead to a lot of burnout. And then if you're not taking care of yourself, it's really hard to take care of someone else. So I think to enlist whatever support you can and to remember to take care of yourself and to, you know, take a break and be good to yourself from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you're not going to disagree with that, are you, Kristen?
Not at all. In fact, Debbie, I want to repeat that just so that it really gets into people's head. You have to take care of yourself to take care of others. If you're not taking care of yourself, there's no way that you can provide help to someone else. You won't have the physical strength. You won't have the emotional strength. And that, when we hear from caregivers, and I'm sure the caregivers out there will understand this and hear themselves in this, the priority is the person often that they're caring for. They don't want to take time out to take care of themselves because they feel guilty or they feel selfish or they feel like they just don't have time because they're so focused on the person that they're providing care to. And yes, that person is a high priority, but you also have to prioritize yourself or you're never going to be able to maintain that role. You're never going to be able to keep doing that. And so things like exercise, things like seeing friends, things like whatever works for you, taking a bath, reading a book, taking a walk through nature, taking a moment to experience gratitude and think about all the things that are actually good in your life. Those can all be very helpful things. And as a caregiver, it can be hard to do that, but prioritizing that and saying to yourself, yes, I am a priority. This is a high priority for me is really the only way that you're going to be able to make that happen when you have all these competing demands for your time and your energy. So it's a fantastic point, Debbie. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much. Let's turn to Lynn in Madison next. Lynn, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I have a concern in our family as relates to my husband and his duties as a caregiver. How should a person feel when you have been responsible for caregiving for your parents, for over 30 years, and then one of them passes away. Now your responsibilities have increased. You are also parents yourself with grandchildren. And now you are still expected to handle all the responsibilities of the caregiver with no support from two siblings.
Yeah.
Even though everyone is supposed to be equal in the responsibility in the family, you know, there's so much disrespect involved. That's an issue. There is no acknowledgement of the effort that he's made all of these years. And he has his own major health concerns that we as a family are dealing with, and we're concerned about him. And obviously we talk about burnout. You don't want that. And then it's compounded by he was the head of the trust. And at that time when his father passed away, he was removed as the head of the trust. And it now becomes all three are supposed to be equal, but that's never going to happen when the other two are aligning against him, even though he has all the responsibility of taking care of his mother and the home. How do you feel, and how do you handle something like that? And how can I be supportive of him and the way he, you know, how hurt he's felt by all of this?
Well, I'm very sorry for your issues there, Lynn, and your husband's issues. Unfortunately, I think it's also something that happens in other families as well.
That's very true, Larry. So often it ends up being one person's responsibility to be the primary caregiver. And sometimes people have help from others, and sometimes not. Sometimes they expect help and don't get it. Sometimes they get too much help. And so there's a lot of emotion and hurt feelings that can come into this. A lot of it stemming from miscommunication. A lot of it stemming from people feeling like they are taking on more burden than they should or more responsibility than they want to or need to. And it's a sticky situation. Anytime you're dealing with people and communication, things can get really sticky and really messy. So the questions that should be thought about here, I think, come down to trying to figure out where this is coming from. And often getting some outside help in navigating those situations can be helpful. So talking to a family counselor to think through what the situation is and how it happened can be helpful. But thinking about, is this a miscommunication issue? And Lynn, I'm not talking about your situation specifically. I'm talking more generally here. But is it a miscommunication issue? Is someone expecting help and the other person on the other side of it has no earthly idea that they're expecting help? Maybe the other person even thinks that they don't want help. So there's miscommunication that happens. Is it a situation where people are feeling left out and there's hurt feelings on both sides that can be navigated around? So trying to have those explicit conversations early and often. In fact, for anyone out there who's listening and isn't a caregiver, talking about these things in advance, thinking about in the event that someone needs care for a long period of time, how are we going to handle that? It's not going to solve problems, especially not all the problems, but it can help prevent them, and it can help at least to open those doors of communications early. But yeah, that's a really hard situation, and there's a lot of families going through that.
I wonder if a social worker might be a mediator in something like this?
Absolutely. Finding a social worker or a licensed counselor or, you know, even a friend who's good at coaching you through situations could be helpful. But finding a professional can really provide that additional support and that coaching. And especially when things get really emotional and when there's a lot of feelings tied up in that family situation, being able to have an outside perspective to help sort through that can be helpful, because when you're so caught up in it, it's really hard to sometimes see the other side of it, and it's hard to figure out what to do to resolve the situation and find ways to work around it when you're already experiencing that stress and already in that situation.
So Lynn's in Madison, and a social worker or some, I would envision a meeting with everybody and the social worker.
Yeah, if you can coordinate that, if you can get everyone on board with that, that would be great. But even for just your husband to be able to talk to someone and start there might be a good way to go. But getting everyone involved would be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Lynn. And thank you so much for calling and sharing with us today, your situation. John in Duluth, Minnesota has something that kind of relates, I think. So let's go there. John, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. A lady called, and she was having trouble with caregivers and choosing among them. And it seems to me it's important to advise her that she could be finding a social worker or a state worker or somebody like that. I don't know the Wisconsin procedure, who could sit down with her and talk to her about that in detail, that she could find somebody to get good advice from.
That's a great suggestion, John. And sometimes through hospitals or through healthcare organizations, they will have a social worker on staff who might be able to help with that. Also, the aging and disability resource centers that I mentioned earlier, they will have connections to resources and may be able to make those connections as well for some families.
Yeah. Thanks, John, for calling. Chris in La Crosse has something as well. Chris, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Wisconsin Cares is also another group that does bring in caseworkers and does help out bringing in extra people to help with care.
Wisconsin
Cares. Personally, yes.
Wisconsin
my
Cares.
My father, mm-hmm. Yes, Wisconsin Cares. It's called Wisconsin and then Cares.
Okay.
And they help bring in the caseworkers that you need. They do family meetings and stuff, because I had been a caregiver for my grandparents as well as my mother with cancer till she died, and my father until he died last May. And there isn't a support group if you don't get involved with your caseworkers like Wisconsin Cares. I had a great caseworker. She brought in help when I needed help. You are all in 24/7, 365 days a year when you do this.
Yeah.
And it was taking a toll on my marriage. It really, really was. But the fact that I was taking care of my dad, who had took care of me my whole life, meant the world to me that on his deathbed, I was there that day. And, you don't get that anywhere else.
Yeah.
You just don't.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point, Chris. And kudos to you for reaching out for help. That's a really important point to make here. Family caregivers often don't even think of themselves as caregivers until they're already at that point of being very stressed or being burnt out. And so being able to identify yourself, saying, yes, I am a spouse. Yes, I am the child of this aging parent. But I'm also playing a role that goes above and beyond that. And I'm acting in this family caregiver role, just identifying that is really important. And then identifying the fact that you have access to resources like Wisconsin Cares, and community by community, there are, it varies a lot, but there are a lot of different resources out there. Identifying that and reaching out for those resources early is a really important step in not reaching that point of burnout and not reaching that point where you can't handle the load of this anymore. So thank you for calling in with that, Chris.
Absolutely. I know hospice can be a big help, and there are other organizations. Again, where do you go to learn about all the various possibilities?
Yeah, so I don't know if anyone out there has ever Googled caregiving resources or anything similar. There's an overwhelming amount of information out there. But there are also a lot of really good pieces of information out there. So the Caregiver Action Network is a good place to go. They have a website that's very helpful. Caregiver.org is another good resource. And they often they'll have state-by-state information. They'll break it down as to what's available state-by-state. The AARP actually has a lot of really good caregiver resources. So you can find a lot of those. And when we're talking about not just informational resources, but more of the functional resources, it can be hard to evaluate what you're actually eligible for as an individual family. And that's where reaching out to one of your local organizations can be helpful. Go ahead.
No, this is all good information, Chris, and here we are out of time. So I want to thank you. Hopefully I'll get you back and do this again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Kristen Litzelman from the University of Wisconsin Cooperative Extension, UW-Madison Human Development and Family Studies, our guest today, and she'll be back and talk again about it. I thought it was a good conversation. but we can continue it with her down the road. Tomorrow, just taking a quick look, Scott Craven's back to talk about the world of wildlife. In the meantime, thanks for listening and stay with us.